in case you've run out of stuff to worry about, the new trade war with the UK is a possibility. It's the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks for being here. Say, did the president just open up about cutting Social Security? You remember those tax cuts of 2017? Well, we've got a stock update for you. It's not yet the end of the first month of 2020, and already over 1,200 stores have announced closures. Meanwhile, Walmart is trying higher pay scales. We've got the market report and more. Plus, Jeff Pitts is in from City View Magazine with stuff to do in the Greater Des Moines Metro this weekend into next week. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company, at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the business news headlines. Great to have you here as always. Reach out to us on Twitter. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. Well, just as one trade war starts to mellow out, another may be on the horizon, and this time with the United Kingdom. This week, Parliament voted to ratify Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit agreement with the EU, paving the way for Britain's exit on January 31st. Now, as Johnson prepares to seek new trade deals outside of the EU, the Trump administration is poised to take advantage of the UK's vulnerable new position on the world stage. Johnson's administration has pledged to implement a 2% tax on the revenue that tech companies like Facebook and Google make from users in the UK. He wants to do that starting in April. Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin responded to what the UK calls a proportionate tax by threatening a new trade war with the UK over the issue. Here's what he said, quote, "If people want to arbitrarily put taxes on our digital companies, we will consider arbitrarily putting taxes on car companies," end quote. Brace yourselves. And one more from the just in case you've run out of stuff to worry about department. President Trump, while at the Davos Economic Summit, may have opened the door to cutting Medicare and Social Security to, in his words, bring down the deficit, much of which was, of course, created by the massive tax cut that was signed into law back in December of 2017. In an interview, Mr. Trump said about the entitlements, which, by the way, really are not, he answered this question, quote, "Are entitlements on your radar?" End quote. Well, this is what the president said, quote, "At some point, they will be. We have tremendous growth. We're going to have tremendous growth. This next year, it'll be toward the end of the year. The growth is going to be incredible, and at the right time, we'll look at that. You know, that's actually the easiest of all things, if you look, because it's such a..." And then the president wandered off into a string of false claims about the economy, saying things like, "We have never had growth like this before," even though economic growth during Mr. Trump's term is nowhere near a record pace. So, number two, three, is this third? Yeah, brace yourself. I think that probably fits. Well, Vox has an interesting article out this morning saying that when the price of Apple stock hit a then record high in October of 2018, among the shareholders counting their gains were 43 Republicans in Congress who collectively owned as much as $1.5 million worth of the tech giant's shares. Apple stock jumped 37% in its run-up to that record. Now, several variables were behind the climb, including higher-than-expected earnings, but congressional Republicans themselves had a hand in the spike, so say stock analysts. Legislation that they championed, that would be the 2017 Tax and Jobs Act, doled out nearly $150 billion in corporate tax savings last year alone. One effect of that was a big boost in stock prices. Why was that? Companies were doing buybacks. Cutting tax rates for companies like Apple and hundreds of other stocks they own was one of the many ways Republican lawmakers enriched themselves after passing the tax law. All of this according to the Center for Public Integrity. And that analysis of a 186-page law and members' financial disclosure forms. Democrats, by the way, also stood to gain from the tax bill, though not one voted for it. All but 12 Republicans did vote for that tax bill. Say, it's just business, right? Well, the run on retail continues, and we're not even done with the first month of 2020. National chains Macy's, JCPenney, Papyrus, Express, and Pier 1 Imports, as well as other retailers, have collectively announced over 1,200 store closures this year. The fallout comes after a year in which retailers closed more than 9,200 stores, all of this according to CoreSite. Those included the liquidation of Payless Shoe Source, Fred's, Gymboree, and Charlotte Rouse, and mass closures of Family Dollar, Forever 21, Charming Charlie's, Sears, Kmart, A.C. Moore, and GameStop. According to real estate tracker CoStar, retailers will likely announce plans to close more than 100 million square feet of space in 2020. That would be the equivalent of about 562 Walmart supercenters. Speaking of Walmart, today we learned that the company is testing out a higher minimum starting wage for certain jobs in hundreds of stores as part of a broader overhaul of roles and responsibilities across its U.S. workforce. In the 500 or so stores that have introduced the retailer's new operating model dubbed Great Workplace, some associates will see their hourly pay raise from $11 an hour to $12 an hour. Those roles, which Walmart has reclassified as team associates, include cashiers, shelf stockers, and deli workers. The wage hike is a test, and right now the company has no plans to raise its minimum starting wage across the board to its 1.5 million U.S. employees. That is the biggest private workforce in the nation. Raising wages? It's yet another sign of a tight labor market, it would seem. Speaking of markets, it was a lousy day on Wall Street as the markets gave back early gains on the news that a second case of the coronavirus was discovered in Chicago. It was just yesterday that the Centers for Disease Control said the virus was not at a place where it could be considered a major threat to the United States, and that calmed some nerves. But today, well, those same nerves got even more nervous, and it sent the markets down. The Dow closed down 170 points to settle at 28,989 after jumping more than 100 points earlier in the day. The 30-stock average briefly fell by more than 300 points before recovering some of those losses as Boeing turned things around. S&P 500 lost 9-tenths to end the day and week at 3295, and the NASDAQ also finished off by 9-tenths to 9314. Meanwhile, U.S. Senator John Barroso said that the CDC told lawmakers they are about to confirm a third case of the virus in the United States. And should that be the case, and more are found over the weekend, it could matter to the markets come Monday. And finally, there's this bit of sobering news. According to the Yelp Economic Average, which tracks the number of openings and closings of businesses, along with consumer demand, says many local economies are stumbling. The study saw its largest quarter-over-quarter decline in a year in the fourth quarter of 2019. According to the report, it's the latest signal that consumers are cutting back on spending and business growth is hitting a wall. That's their words. So which parts of the United States are having the toughest times? Large metropolitan areas like San Francisco, San Jose, Portland, and Dallas had the four worst scores, while Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Honolulu had the top scores, even though Honolulu is one of the most expensive places in the United States in which to live. In the Midwest, and on a downward course, two cities, Chicago and Omaha. Well, enough Debbie Downer for today, right? Let's trek off for a chat with Jeff Pitts, the managing editor for City View Magazine, with his list of stuff to do in the metro this weekend into next week.